Welcome to the Landmark Podcast. I'm Jason Calhoun, pastor of Landmark Pentecostal Church in Texarkana, Texas. We encourage you to visit us on the web at landmarkupc.net for a schedule of services and upcoming events. We pray that you are blessed by the message today. Thank you again for listening.
Genesis chapter 45. I was reading through with the Bible reading program that I'm using, and I started afresh, finished, and started again, and I was reading through these verses of Scripture, which are familiar to me. And I've preached along through this chapter at different places many times. But there were some things that really stood out to me in these verses all over again. Genesis chapter 45, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all of them that stood by him. And he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph, doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. These 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, to save your lives by great deliverance. But now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and a lord over all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye and go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord over all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. If you would, let's resume reading the latter portion of that same passage, that same chapter, verse 24. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed, and he said unto them, verse 24, see that ye fall not out by the way. See that ye fall not out by the way. And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go see him before I die. I want to look at verse 9 once again. This is where I want to derive my subject. Verse 9, haste ye, go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God made me Lord over all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. Tarry not. Now we know that Joseph in the Old Testament is a type of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. There's many things that cause their lives to parallel. Many things that we could talk about, but suffice it to say that he's one of the most perfect types in the Old Testament to Jesus Christ, because he was betrayed by his brethren, he was sold for silver, he was also away preparing, as our Lord is right now, for his people to come again to him. And so I want to preach this from that perspective tonight, but I want to use this subject title, More Than a Message. More Than a Message. It was Joseph here that said, I've got a message for my father. I got a message for my father. But I want to preach tonight, More Than a Message. message. Let's lift up our hands to the Lord and let's pray that the Lord God of heaven would help us anoint and bless and minister in this house tonight. We need His Spirit to move, His work to be done. Would you pray fervently with me right now? Jesus, I'm asking God for your help. I'm asking, Lord, for your strength. Asking God for your touch upon this service this evening. Minister to every heart and life that is gathered here under the sound of my voice. Anoint me to preach your gospel. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. And the church said, in Jesus' name. Oh, yeah, let's say it again. There's something sweet about that name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Would you clap your hands and worship that name again? Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated. This is one of the most emotionally charged stories that we could read from the Old Testament here tonight. It's probably one of the most emotionally charged stories of all the Word of God. Those of you that had the occasion, perhaps during the season when they were showing this, to go to Branson and see the play Joseph, you know that it is a very emotional story of how that he was reunited with his brethren after being separated from them for a long period of time, many years. And these brethren that had sold Joseph unto slavery originally, now there has been a terrible famine that has came to the land of Canaan where they are dwelling. And their father, Jacob, who is also called Israel, the father of Israel. And this is the name that the Lord had given him. But he tells these boys to go down to Egypt and there to ask for food for the famine so that they can survive and just merely exist. It had gotten that bad. Now, famine in our times is bad, but because of our world being so connected, when one area of the globe gets in trouble, usually you can call on another area, another country, where the weather has not been such a terrible problem. And if there's crop failure in one area, crops may be good in another. And so we're able to help one another out. But this was not the case necessarily in Bible times. This was a very dire situation. And said, I want you to go down to Egypt and just fall on the mercy of the Egyptians. I've heard that they have plenty. And so if you can find help there so that we can survive, we're going to die otherwise. We don't have any other options. And so he sent his brethren reluctantly, or his sons rather, reluctantly forth to go down to Egypt. And unbeknownst to these boys, the very person that they would be asking for assistance from was their brother, their very own brother Joseph, that they had sold unto slavery and betrayed many years before. And I don't have the time to go into all the points of the story, but after a period of time of proving them, the Bible tells us that Joseph could not refrain himself. That's where I began reading here tonight in the first verse of chapter 45. He could not refrain from revealing himself to them. Again, preaching this from the perspective of our Lord being a type of Joseph, can I tell you that the Lord wants to show his people things? God wants to reveal himself, amen, to everybody that's in this congregation tonight. God wants to help you. He wants to reveal things to you from his word. He wants to reveal things about himself to you. God does not want to be an elusive God. God does not want to be a God that withholds himself. He's not trying to be a mysterious God. Amen. But everything you desire to learn, everything you hunger for and you want from God, you can receive that revelation from the Lord. God does want to reveal himself. And the scripture says that Joseph could not refrain from revealing himself to his brethren. They had been in and out of his palace now several times, and he had kept his identity from them, But it came to the point that he could not hold it back from them anymore. His emotions were so thin that finally he said, it's time. And he caused every one of the Egyptians to leave the room. And he said, I just want to be here alone with my people. And I want to reveal some things to them. I think that also parallels a very powerful principle that applies to you and I. And that is the fact that if you're going to learn things from God, you're going to have to separate yourself from the multitude. You're going to have to come out from the masses. You're going to have to be willing to separate yourself from all the others and get alone with God in a place of prayer and spend some time with Him alone there and let Him reveal some things to you. Amen. There's some things that you'll never see in God as long as you're running with the crowd. There's some things that you'll never apprehend in God as long as you're running with the masses. There's some things that'll never be revealed to you as long as you're trying to fit in with everybody else. But if you'll let Him separate you out and call you out, the Bible said we've been called out of darkness into this marvelous light. And there's things that happen in light. Things is revealed in light that cannot be revealed in darkness. You see things in light that you cannot see in darkness. Amen. Aren't you thankful for the light that came? Amen. And you saw things even about yourself that needed a change. You saw things in God's word that you had not seen before. Things were revealed to you. You saw things about God that you did not understand and was not able to comprehend before. Aren't you thankful that God still reveals His truth? I believe in, even in the 21st century, that there is the power of revelation that can come to somebody that's hungry for God and willing to be separated unto Him, willing to step out and say, God, I want You to show me some things about You. I want to learn from You. I want to become more acquainted with You. I want to know You. He made Himself known unto His brethren. Amen. I am Joseph. And they were trembling. They were afraid. They were fearful for their life. Now that it was revealed to them the identity of Joseph, no doubt they wondered, is he, being this man of position and authority that he is in Egypt, our lives are in his hands. Surely he's going to take vengeance out upon us. Surely he's going to get even with us for the things that we've done to him. But I'm going to tell you, God does not elevate people that are vengeful. I'm going to let that settle in just a little bit. Can I tell you that God does not elevate people that are vindictive. Amen. That once they get into a position of anointing or power in God, that they would abuse it. I'm going to tell you, there's a proving process before you ever get to that place in God where you hold any kind of authority in the Spirit, where you have any kind of power and position in God. You'll have to have proved that you can be trustworthy with that power. And Joseph had been through a prison experience. He had been betrayed not once, but twice. Amen. He had been through some lonely hours. He had had people forget who he was and what he had done for them. Amen. But in this process of going through these things, when he was finally elevated, we see a different Joseph than when he was a young man. When God would reveal things to him, he had a notion to brag about it. He wanted to tell about his dreams and his visions from God and what God was going to do for him in his life. And he would tell his brethren these things. He couldn't keep a lid on it. He couldn't keep it to himself. He had to brag about what God was going to do. But we don't see that braggart when he's been through a prison. We don't see that same braggart after he's been through a dark dungeon. We don't see that same braggart after he has been betrayed and been alone for several years, and it's just been he and God. Now he realizes it's not because I'm something. It's not because I'm such a good person, but it's because God has the ability to pull one up and to put another down. Hallelujah. Isn't that what the Word of God says? It's God that blesses. It's God that favors. Don't get mad at somebody because God is blessing them. Don't get jealous at someone because God's put His hand upon them. Because the Scripture says that it's Him that puts one up and puts another down. Amen. You need to realize that God's not a respecter person. It ought to incite you when you see your brother blessed. It ought to incite you when you see God do something for your sister. Amen. Because you know that if God can do it for them, He can do it for me. He can do it for me. Hallelujah. Because he's no respecter of person. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so he reveals himself. And this is a man that is over trying to get back at them. And he tells them, no, this was a God thing. I know it seemed like a bad thing. I know it seemed like a terrible thing. But can I tell you it was a God thing? Can I tell you that God had his hand in all of this? Oh, yeah. Can I tell you things in your life? And I'm doing a lot of preaching, getting to where I want to preach. But can I tell you that there's a lot of things that happen to you in your life that seem like terrible things and bad things and setbacks and stumbling blocks that's been thrown along your trail, and you wonder, why in the world is this happening and why is this going on and how come and what have I ever done? Amen. And why does bad things happen to good people? But can I tell you, Joseph, that God has a plan? I said, God's going to use you. God's going to elevate you. God's going to bring people to you that you're going to be able to help that you wouldn't have been able to help if you'd not been through the storm. Amen. I'm going to bring folks to you that you're going to be able to pray with, and you're going to be able to encourage, and you're going to be able to talk to them, and you're going to be able to pull them back up, and you're going to be able to inspire them. Amen. Because you've been where they've been at. You went through what they went through. Can feel what they feel. You've experienced what they've experienced. Amen. I don't want to talk to somebody that hadn't been proven. I don't want somebody preaching to me that hasn't been through the storm. I don't want somebody telling me about what God can do and they never been through anything. But if you've been through something, you got a testimony that if God brought me out, he can bring you out. And if God done it for me, he can do it for you. Yeah, those of you that's been sick and God has healed you, you can testify tonight. He's still a healer. He's still a healer. He's still able. He can still do it. He still has power. There's still enough virtue. He's a healer. Oh, those of you that's been delivered, you can look at the drug addict and say, you know what? I know God's able, because what he's done for me, he can do for you. I used to be bound. I used to be addicted. I used to be incarcerated by that. But thanks be to God, I'm here tonight lifting up holy hands, free from wrath and doubt, because God is a deliverer. Notice, after he got them all calmed down, he asked them a very important question to him, because he never had forgot about that special relationship that he had had with his father. You know, there was a special relationship between Joseph and his father. Yes, there was. Joseph's father, Jacob, had made him a coat and given it to him. This was a son that he was fond of. There was a special relationship there. So when it came the opportunity to ask, he asked, how's my father doing? Is he still alive? It's been so long. I haven't seen him in so many years. And they answered to the affirmative that he is alive. And he's the one that sent us here. And so he gives them a message. I want you to get this. He gives them a message to take to his father, who is in another land, in another place. They'll have to travel to get there, to that place. He gives them this message to take to them, and he gives them a command along with it. It says this in the King James Version. It says, see that you fall not out by the way. And I was reading this, and I don't make a habit of preaching out of the NIV, but sometimes I read other versions of the Bible. So I was reading in the NIV, and it said this: don't quarrel on the way. Don't fight along the way. Don't argue, in other words, along the way. Don't get in a big debate along the way. I've given you a message. It says, see that you fall not out by the way. We call it falling out with one another. Amen. How many has ever had a falling out? Don't raise your hand. Amen. All you newlyweds, keep your hands down. Amen. Don't have a falling out by the way. Oh, don't have a falling out with one another. Amen. Don't be quarreling with one another. I've given you an important message to take to my Father. And I don't want you squabbling. Amen. I don't want you in discord. But I want you unified for this one cause and this purpose and this mission that I've sent you forth with. Amen. It's already sucked down. Got a little bit quiet here, but that's okay. I'm just going to hit this point and run. I'm going to do like the little boy. I'm going to hit that big bully, and I'm going to take off running. Praise God. Amen. I'm going to tell you tonight, amen, we need to be unified if ever before when it comes to this message of truth. I'm not at all afraid to preach this. Can I tell you that this is a one God church? Can I tell you that we still believe that in order to be born again, you must be born again, amen, by repenting, being baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That you must live a holy and separated life unto God. Holiness within, holiness without. That's what we believe that it takes to be saved. We're not quarreling about that. We're not even debating about those things. But there's a lot of times we get to debating over little foolish things. We get to quarreling over little foolish things. Maybe there was somebody in the group that said, I want to be the spokesman. I want to be the man that presents it to him. I want to be the one that tells him what Joseph said. Amen. There's no room for that elbowing your way to the top stuff. Amen. If you can't have a good spirit when you're off the platform, it shouldn't matter that you're on the platform. You should have a good spirit all the time. Yeah. We're not in competition. We're not to quarrel one with another. We got a message. We got a world to reach. We got people that's dying without God. We got folks, amen, that need Jesus. We don't need competition around here. We need people that are unified, that are together. We need church members that are together. We don't want clubs. We don't want cliques. We don't want this person getting their little section off over here and this one inviting their little section off over here. And because you're in that group, you can't be in that group. Get out of all of that stuff. Get in the altar. Get prayed through. Get under the blood of Jesus and realize this is one church that Jesus shed his blood for. Amen. This is one church baptized. He said into one body. Quarreling, don't be quarreling. And then it tells them five things that I want to preach to you very quickly. Amen. Has anybody ever heard me preach quickly? Amen. Five things that he asked them to tell very specifically here. And you can read through it. And I'm not going to use them necessarily in order, but they're all here. He said, first of all, now that I know he's alive, he said, I want you to tell him that I'm alive. I want you to tell him that it's not like he thinks. It's not like you suggested that it was. You see, years before, Jacob had assumed falsely that Joseph was in fact dead. Of course, it was a lie, but nevertheless, a lie that he embraced. You see, the devil, he doesn't have to fabricate something, amen, that is necessarily real or right or any even close to the truth. All he's got to do is convince you that it's right. All he's got to get you is to embrace it. All you got to do is to accept it yourself and to assume it yourself. And how many of us in this place has the devil tried to keep us from receiving victory, receiving an answer to prayer, receiving what we really desire from God by telling us some fabricated lie that we're not worthy, we're never going to receive it, that it's never going to happen. We've prayed about it and it's just not meant to be. That's just the way it is. You might as well accept it. It's dead end street. There's no hope. There's no way. It can't possibly be done. There is no revival for you. There is no breakthrough for your family. You cannot
financially elevate. You cannot ever increase in God. You might as well be satisfied with just surviving and being a pew dweller and just getting by the skin of your teeth, so to speak, spiritual. I've come to tell you that the devil is a liar. I said the devil is a liar. That's a lie out of the pits of hell. Amen. I refuse to receive and embrace something that is an untruth sent to discourage us out of the pits of hell. I think somebody ought to get up and shout right now and say, if revival's for anybody, it's for me. It's for my family. It's for my church. Somebody ought to make up their mind right now. Amen. If healing is for anyone, God can give it to me. If deliverance is for anyone, God can give it to me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, the devil has endeavored to deceive people for years and convince them that there's no hope for them to change. Oh, that the word of God is lifeless, that the promises of God are dead. Amen, that there's really no real experience in God. But I've come to preach to somebody tonight, he's alive as he's ever been. I've come to proclaim to you that the Holy Ghost didn't fizzle out a few chapters after Acts chapter 2. Amen. It didn't fizzle out with the early church. It didn't fizzle out around the turn of the century. But it still is alive. It still is real. My Bible said the letter killeth, but the Spirit maketh alive. It's going to make somebody alive here tonight. Amen. You're going to get off of that dead business of believing that God's not able and God can't do it. Shake that spirit off and say, I'm alive in Jesus Christ. Man, I feel something building in the Holy Ghost. I said, I feel something building in the Holy Ghost. I said, this promise is still alive. He said, I don't want you to stop there. I told you I was going to move quick. Amen. If you'll preach with me quick, I'll preach quick. Amen. If I see like you ain't getting with it, amen, I'm liable to go all night because I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost here in this house tonight. He said, tell my Father of all the glory that you've seen here. He said, look around here. You see all this glory. You see all of this splendor. You see all of these things that God has blessed us with. You see all of these things that God has done. You see all of these miracles that have happened for us here in Egypt. He said, I want you to go and tell him. I want you to go and give him details about all that you witnessed and all the glory that you see, all the pomp and pageantry that you see right here in this palace. I want you to go and tell him about it. I'm telling you, church, if there ever was a day that we need to leave this place, we need to be telling people, hey, we go to a glorious church. We go to a church that still has miracles. We go to a church that's still excited about serving Jesus. We go to a church that is still alive. We go to a church that still worships God fervently. We go to a church that still believes in old-fashioned anointing. Come on, if you're going to post on Instagram, if you're going to tweet anything, if you're going to put anything on Facebook, don't let it be garbage, but let it be something that's happened around the church. Hey, I go to a church that is glorious. I go to a church that God is blessing and giving revival to. Tell him of my glory. That's what you ought to be talking about. That's what you ought to be focused on. That's what you ought to be telling on your job tomorrow. Not a dirty joke. Not passing on some kind of gossip. Amen. But telling people what God's doing in this place. He said, don't stop there. He said, the third thing I want you to tell him, I want you to tell him I'm Lord over all. I'm Lord not just over some things. I'm not just Lord over just a few things. I just don't have storehouses and that's all I'm in charge of. I want you to know I'm Lord and governor over everything in Egypt. There's nothing that Pharaoh hadn't given me authority over. I'm Lord over all. That's what he said, isn't it? I'm Lord over all the land of Egypt. Can I tell you that God is still Lord over all? I know he's Lord over backaches, and I'm not minimizing backaches. I know he's Lord over sprained ankles, and I know he's Lord over pulled muscles, and I know he's Lord over just things that can't really be proven. Amen. Besides to the person that, you know, I used to kind of think all them backaches were something until I got a backache. And then I found out it's a real deal. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I feel like I'm in the company of people that's had backaches before. You pull your back out, it'll shut your world down. You lay down in the bed. All these little young fellas are laughing here tonight because they ain't never had no backache. It'll catch up with you. Hallelujah. You got to do something to get a backache first. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Turn my back to them because I don't want them to get mad at me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Can I tell you that God is not a God that's just Lord over a few things. He's Lord over all things. I said he's Lord over all things. He has power over everything. Amen. He doesn't just specialize in one little area. He's got it all covered. I said he's got it all covered. I don't know what you're going through tonight, but he's got you covered. I said he can work where you want him to. He can answer the prayer that you're praying. He can give you victory where you need him to tonight. Come on, turn around to somebody and say, he's got you covered. I said he's got you covered. It's all right. Jesus has got you covered. He's Lord over all. Amen. And then he's honing on down here. Amen. He's getting down to where it really matters. He said, I don't want you to stop there. He said, but I want you to tell him something else. I want you to tell him to come unto me. I know there's a lot of distance between he and I. I realize that he's in a dry, parched land. He's in a land of famine. He's scratching around trying to make out an existence and just survive and get by. I realize all of that. I realize he's probably weak. But can I tell you that you need to do whatever you have to do, Dad, to get to where I'm at? Because where I'm at is where the blessing is. Where I'm at is where life's going to change for you. Where I'm at is what's going to make the difference. Where I'm at is what you've been looking for, what you've been hungry for, what you've been thirsty for. You can find it where I'm at. Hallelujah. You're not going to find it out there. Can I tell you, you're never going to find satisfaction, sir, out there gallivanting in the world. You're never going to find what you're looking for, young person, out there experimenting with sin. Oh, but if you ever learn that what I need, what I'm hungry for, what I desire is in the house of God. He said, come on, come on, come hungry, but come on, come thirsty, but come on, come desirous, but come on, come with an appetite, but come on. Come unto me, come unto me, come unto me, and tarry. That's the fifth thing he said. Amen, you don't have to stay in famine. But he said, I don't want you to hesitate. He said, this is an invitation I'm giving, but I want you to understand that you need to respond while the door's open. He said, come unto me and tarry not. Don't hesitate. Don't linger. Don't procrastinate, but respond. Respond when the invitation comes. Move. Get in a hurry about it. He told them. He said, I want you to hasten and tell him the message. I want you to get down there as quick as you can and let him know. But second of all, I want you to tell him that he better not tarry. That he better not hesitate. Don't drag your feet. Don't waste your time. Don't sit back and say, well, I don't know if it's true. Oh, come on now. Oh, come on. Don't tarry. Tarry not. Amen. I'm going to tell you, in services just like this, there's times when the Spirit begins to move and the Holy Ghost begins to work and God opens up a door in the Spirit and a window of opportunity to us, and we need to respond at that moment. We need not to hesitate at that particular time. We need to move in the Holy Ghost. We need to respond in the Spirit at that very moment. We don't need to sit back and say, well, I'm going to wait until the preacher hits the next point. I'm going to wait until I get to feeling just just right. I'm going to wait until it moves on me. Amen. But you got to go when the Spirit says go. You got to respond when the Spirit says respond. You got to step out when it's time to step out. Said, tear it up.
To you, that when he got down there, or when they got down there and they told him these things, the Bible says they told him all the words. They didn't leave one thing out. And the Bible says that while they were letting him know that Jacob believed them not, verse 26, and Jacob's heart fainted. Can you imagine? He's been in a famine. He's been way. He's been through a trial. He's already had Joseph taken away. They're fooling with him. He thinks it's all over again. The same little vicious circle that they've always played with him. It's going to be the same thing, same result. It's still deceit. It's still lies. And they come and tell him all the words of Joseph. And the Bible said his heart failed. It wasn't that he didn't want to believe. It was because he had been through so much that he could hardly believe. Like that man that says, Lord, I believe, but help now my unbelief. It's not that I don't want you to. There's nothing I desire you to do but to heal my son. But I've been through so much. I need you to bolster up my faith. I need you to help me in my faith. I need you to strengthen me and encourage me in the Holy Ghost. He believed them not. But suddenly he looks beyond the messengers and he sees some wagons coming. And he said, now, I see more than just a message, but I see the manifestation. I see the miracle. I see that there's something behind this message that proves that it's right, that proves that it's truth, that proves that it's real. And the Bible says that Jacob's heart fainted. He believed him not. And the very next verse says that after he saw those wagons, that Israel said, this same person now, Jacob here in one verse, Israel over here in the next verse. What's that got to do with anything? I'll tell you what it was. As long as he was in doubt, as long as he was in unbelief, he reverted back to his old nature. As long as he couldn't get his hand on what God was trying to give him and what God wanted him to get a grasp on, he reverted back to be a Jacob, conniver, deceiver, man that survived by his own whims and wills. But when he believed, when he looked out there and saw the miracle coming, he said, now I believe. I'll go see him before I die. And the scripture says that Israel said, I believe you now. I'll go see him before I die. Amen. There was something revived. The Bible said the spirit of Jacob was revived. Israel said, we need something to be revived in us. An old-fashioned faith. An old-fashioned belief in God.
It said, stir up the gift that was within you. Sometimes it takes effort on our part to stir it up. Amen. So what I want you to do right now, I want you to do whatever you got to do to get that thing stirred up in you again. Let some things be revived in you, because God's trying to take you somewhere. God's trying to do something in your life. God's trying to restore some things for you. Sometimes you gotta step out and shout a little bit to get it stirred up. Sometimes you gotta throw your hands in there and wave them unto God to get it stirred up. Sometimes you gotta leap for joy to get it stirred up. Sometimes you gotta give out a shout of praise to get it stirred up. Come on, Jacob. God has something that he's sending to you. God has something he wants to give you. If somebody wouldn't respond right now in faith, somebody wouldn't let loose right now in faith, I would have everybody that